Hello, everybody. This is Zach Brittle. I'm here with my friend Laura Heck. You're listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. This week, we are answering a ton of listener mail. We got a bunch of emails over the last few weeks about questions that you have about relationships and therapy, including one email we got from my buddy Kevin, who loves my dad jokes. And it actually reminded me of some clients that came in this last couple weeks. They are farmers. They own two different plots of land. On one plot, they have a dairy farm. And on the other one, they decided to try and grow some marijuana. And it was frustrating for them both because they had different goals. And as they were working it out, they realized they had a problem, which was that their cows were constantly returning to the marijuana field. And they went back and forth about whose fault it was and who was responsible and what was happening. And it was never ending. It was really problematic because they just could not come to an agreement. And then I finally had to explain to them that it was just the pot calling the cattle back. The pot calling the cattle back. All right, that's fake. But these next listener emails are real. Stick around.
We have a bunch of questions, and we decided rather than doing a full episode on one question, we're going to hammer out at least three. We'll see how many we can get through.
Okay.
But we've pulled them all together, so...
I'm ready.
You're ready? You don't want to have any fun like talk and just like tell me about what's going on in your life?
No, you said we were
going
to have a short episode. No.
Oh, but no. I want to know what's happening in your life.
Nothing is happening in my life. Let's see.
How's that triathlon that you're training for?
Oh, okay. The triathlon was last weekend.
And how did it go?
I don't know.
Did you support everybody else that had trained so well for it?
I did. My neighbors across the street, I was constantly in texting with them. But I opted instead to go to my daughter's soccer tournament. And
did you make that decision 10 weeks ago where you're like, you know what, I'm just going to go to this tournament instead?
just about. So that's how my triathlon went.
That's good. Well, you've taken that up as a hobby, and I have taken up scrolling through like the depths of Netflix. I have watched everything there is to watch of any interest on Netflix.
What did you think of Everything Sucks?
You mean I told you I watched your daughter's show, at least the episode that you told me to watch. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I watched the very first one and then I watched the episode.
Thanks for that.
Oh my gosh. Does your daughter listen to this podcast? Is she going to hear me?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I went even further into the depths. Is it further or farther?
It depends.
But in this context, did I go further?
You went further, deeper.
I went deeper into Netflix, into the dark web of Netflix, and I found something called Drunk History, and it is completely filling me with joy at about 11 o'clock at night when my husband has fallen asleep and I have nobody to talk to. And I'm exhausted and my brain is fried and it matches my wit and my intelligence perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
You know what? I was being completely truthful and honest and humble.
Do you know that I've introduced this phrase into my vocabulary lately? It's you're not wrong.
Okay.
I go, you're not wrong. I say that to clients. I say it to my wife. You're not wrong.
You're not. But you're not wrong. I would feel like what I really want to hear is you're right, but you're not willing to say that.
I know. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm not there
yet.
You'll
get there.
It's like the people who are like, they can't say sorry. You know?
I'm
I apologize.
Okay. Are you ready for the first question?
I am.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So here's the deal. It was a long email, so I'm just going to rephrase it. But the question, comes from a male listener. And he's married to a woman, and they're both doing individual therapy, working on their own things. And he's been doing individual therapy for a couple of years now. Really feels like he's seen some improvement. He's been diving into himself. His wife is now diving into some relationship stuff, not related to him, but to family of origin issues. Mm. And he really wants to do couples therapy, which I'm like giving a little silent clap. You know what? Doesn't have to be silent. It's going to be a loud clap for him because it's the man who wants to do couples therapy. But the complaint and the question is that wife does not. Wife wants to continue with individual therapy, doesn't have the, I guess, cognitive, emotional space to be diving into the relationship right now. And he, I think, is just really feeling like, you know, should I feel upset about this? Is this okay? And I know you have some opinions about this. So what are your thoughts on when one person doesn't want to do couples therapy?
Well, I mean, I think it's broader, right? Like, I think that couples therapy works the best when you have two partners who are bought into the process, and those two partners are coming in as healthy as possible. And by healthy, I think I mean like as willing and open as possible to solving their part of the equation. Couples therapy doesn't work when a partner comes in, one or the other, and their goal is to fix the other one. That's not gonna be successful. And so I don't know what her resistances are, but if she's sincere about doing individual work, then maybe it's not time for couples therapy. Maybe there's ways to work on the relationship that are not quite
well. Ultimately, I mean, she is sort of working on the relationship if she's diving into her own personal stuff. I mean, that's going to benefit the relationship in the long run. And I kind of feel for the wife in this way, because I do feel like it can be super emotionally taxing if for the first time you're taking on family of origin issues and you're working through that and the impact it has on your relationship. I mean, it's a lot of balls to keep in the air. And sometimes you just need to focus and have a singular focus. I'm not saying she can totally dismiss her relationship, but maybe it's not the right time for therapy, which if you commit to therapy, that's hard work. That's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Have you had this before? This is the inverse. A couple comes to see you, and in the midst of couples therapy, you recognize that one or both partners really need to do individual work before coming back to couples therapy.
Yes, obviously there are times when I say, sounds like you could do some individual work, or I don't generally pause couples therapy though. I would encourage it to happen simultaneously, but I don't generally pause it. No.
Yeah. I believe I was working with a couple and it was their decision. They had come to the conclusion that at least one or both of them needed to do individual work. And I mean, maybe this was an excuse so that they could break up with me. Actually, it wasn't, because they wanted to come back. they came to the conclusion that they really needed to spend their resources and time and energy focused on some individual things that they found they could work on. And once they really kind of tightened those things up, then they could come back to couples therapy. So,
I tell you what, I would say this though, when I tell people to go or encourage people to get and do individual work, I say, make sure that you go work on you. Don't go into your therapist and work on your marriage or your partner. Go in and work on you, because if you go try to work on your partner, it's not going to be successful. You're going to create this alliance, sort of this, I can't believe you have to deal with that stuff kind of story.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be helpful to the relationship.
All right. Question number two. Are you ready? I'm just gonna read this one. My fiance recently requested space. Ooh, we all know what that means.
We were on a break.
He says, after I got drunk, I said some horrible things to her. I'm bleeping some of this out because he uses some foul language. I'm sure he used some foul language when he said some horrible things to her. Anyway, that was the reason why she wanted to take a break. Anyway, he says, I still want to be in the relationship and I don't want to lose her. What should I do? I actually wrote this listener back, so I know what I said to him. Do you want to hear what I said to him?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
So what I said is that if she needs some space, then she needs some space. Like, you're only going to push her further away if you continue to pursue her. So I said, what she probably needs to hear is that you're taking responsibility for the horrible things you said to her. And this is a piece of owning up and just saying, I said some really horrible things and I don't even care if I was drunk. Clearly, if I have a problem and I'm drinking, so what I had suggested to this listener is stop drinking. She might need to see that you are committed and that she means more to you than saying horrible things or drinking. And so maybe it's time to take a break from alcohol and get some awareness that you were unable to control some of these things. And so I told him, stop drinking, let her know that you love her, that you want to allow her the space to do whatever she needs to do, and that you're here and that you would like to check in, you know, from time to time and see how things are going, just to sort of allow her that space, but also let her know I'm here, I'm near, and I still want to be in your life. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on what either what I suggested or...
I think your answer was perfect. It's exactly what I would have offered. The only other thing I think I would might add to it is, you know, when we talk about conflict, and it's maybe let's call it incidental conflict, where there's an argument that's happening in the living room, you know, after dinner or something, and one person needs to take a break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What we ask them to do is say, can you just ask for the break, identify how long you think it might be, and then set the terms for when we're coming back. And so in her case, or rather in his case, I guess, if he's the asker of the question, I think it's fair for him to say, hey, totally fine that you need a break. I accept that. Just wondering, like, what is the, when can I expect to hear, like, to reconnect with you? Can we get together on Saturday? Are you talking about a month? Are you talking about, you know, I mean, it's just taking that whole idea of sort of self-soothing, you know, break taking that we talk about in kind of the incidental moments and applying it maybe on this grander scale. I think that's a fair question to ask.
That's added to it. Yeah. What did you think about the suggestion of taking a break from alcohol?
Well, it's the first thing I thought, right? I mean, the guy clearly behaves in a way that is not himself. When he's under the influence. And so I think he needs to take a pretty, I mean, I think we all do need to take a good look at our relationship with alcohol and whether or not it turns us into somebody we don't want to be, which in this case, it sounds like it did.
Yeah. You know, so,
I think it's, I mean, and there's no harm from taking a break, right? If you take a break, minimally, you learn that you can.
Right. I was thinking, I always think about some of the suggestions and what if this was somebody that I knew, or what if I was the female in this situation? And the biggest takeaway that I would have had is if somebody had said something to me or done something while they were intoxicated and I said, I need a break. And they said, okay, you take your break. Meanwhile, I'm going to be over here working on me because I'm taking full responsibility of what I did. And you mean so much more to me than having some beers with the guys or getting loaded on the weekends or just relaxing or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And that would really demonstrate. A lot of times people say, show me. I need to see a change or see difference. And that's a really easy way to show somebody by just cutting alcohol out. So, okay. Question number three. Ready? All right.
Okay.
I'm going to paraphrase this one also. So the question is coming from a female. She and her partner have been married for quite a long time, and her husband is going through what she has called a midlife crisis. And you can just sort of make up whatever you want about this midlife crisis, but he has started to take Viagra. So she says that their sex life went from nothing, where he was disinterested in sex, to now he's like poking her in the middle of the night, like, hey, baby. Mm-hmm. And her main question is, I don't want to have sex in the middle of the night. And not only that, but I don't want to have sex for longer than 20 minutes or however long. I get that, man. Chafing sets in after a certain amount of time for a female.
You are something
else.
It's
true. The women's anatomy.
I don't need to.
Yeah, okay. You know, I'm a therapist. I talk about sex all day long. But anyway.
All right.
So she says, how can I say no? How can I refuse sex? And is it okay to refuse sex? I'm going to put this one on you. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think that this is a larger conversation that needs to take place like in the coffee shop or in the car, not in the middle of the night in the bed. People ought to have some agreements about how they want to be pursued for sex and also how they want to be rejected for sex. Like, the answer to her husband has the answer to the question, not me.
Right.
How can I say no? And maybe it's, not right now, babe, or let's snuggle instead, or can we do it in the morning? Or can we have an agreement that, you know, you're only going to take your pill a couple times a week? Or there has to be a larger conversation that is not just in that moment. And if that larger conversation isn't honored, say by him, then we have a different set of issues, right? I mean, without any clarity of the rules, then you can't expect anybody to play by them. And if the rules are clear and you don't play by them, then that becomes a betrayal of a different sort.
So you're saying talk about this. And I say this oftentimes with couples where, you know, they're kind of fired up about something or it's a perpetual conflict that's coming up. And I say this often, bring it up in a time where you are not fired up, when it's like you're not even thinking about it. So just like, yeah,
that's why I say the car or the coffee shop.
Hey, like, I've been thinking about this. This is something important. I want to talk to you. You know, how can we make an arrangement where both of our needs can get met? And I think the refusal part is a really great question. And I don't think enough couples ask that of how, if I'm not in the mood and I'm not interested in having sex, because I don't think being in the mood is really, that's another topic for another time. Often we're not in the mood. Like, I don't know when all couples are in the mood at the exact same time, but if I'm not interested in having sex, how would you like for me to refuse it or say not now, whatever it might be? That's great. Have you heard of any like ways that people have decided to refuse or deny or say no, thank you?
There's that one kind of urban legend that floats around the Gottman Institute. I don't know how true it is, about the couple who had they bought action figures. They had a Superman and a Wonder Woman, and if one of them wanted, and they were standing up on top of the headboard of the bed, and if somebody wanted to have sex, if Superman wanted to have sex, he would come and he would lay Superman down, and if she wanted to have sex, she would lay Wonder Woman down, and that's how they knew. But if she didn't, she would just stand Superman up, and that was how they, that was just kind of how they kind of did it, and it was their agreement. And I think, again, the thing there is that it's an agreement. The rules are clear. And so they were able to remove some of the awkwardness and maybe even some of the rejection.
It was a conversation. They had already had they already established the rules ahead of time.
Yeah. And the only other piece I would think is that you really need to, the healthiest relationships are the ones where there's no consequence for rejection, right? To say, no, I don't want to have sex doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't want to be intimate with you. It doesn't mean I think you're unattractive. Yeah. It means I don't want to have sex. And if the person who is being rejected is then punishing the person who doesn't want to have sex, then that's a consequence that's not cool. It's not fair. And so I think that's where I'll go back to it over and over again. Understanding the rules together is really critical.
I had a couple that had to dig a little bit deeper, that when one partner would try and initiate sex, the other partner wanted more context. And so they would say, are you feeling horny or do you need closeness? There was a way of differentiating for the two of them. And if it was you're feeling horny, I believe, if I remember correctly, they would have an agreement where if she didn't want to have sex, then he would go and do his thing on his own and take care of his needs. And then, if it was about closeness, then they would negotiate how to be close. And if it involves sex, great, but maybe it was kissing or cuddling or whatever it might be. But there was like seeking more, context between the two of them. And I liked that because it was, there's a lot behind initiation, and I don't know, the couple with the action figure dolls, there's not a whole lot of conversation happening right there.
Well, it happened beforehand, right? Yeah. It happened sometime off screen.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if you have any questions, send them our way. The email that you can send it to is info@forbetter.us, and it's forbetter.us. And we'll answer your questions as they come in, and let us know if you liked this, where we just kind of tackled a few questions all in the same episode. So
right on.
All right, Zach, adios.
Adios.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Again, our marriage retreat is happening in Seattle, Washington on November 9th and 10th. So if you are planning on coming to visit us, get your tickets early. We only have seats reserved for 50 couples. You can purchase your tickets at marriagetherapyradio.com. There's a tab up at the top that says retreat, and it's $287 per couple. That includes all of your workshop materials. Friday night, we're going to do a dessert bar. Saturday, we'll give you lunch, and it includes all your workshop materials. But more importantly, it is jam-packed with exercises, to help you communicate better, talk through conflict conversations, and deepen your intimacy. We're really excited to have you. Can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.